Welcome back to another episode of NFT Catcher Podcast. We'd like to remind everybody that nothing on the show is meant as financial advice, and to please do your own research. Thank you, and enjoy the show.
Now the subject is NFTs.
They're known as non-fungible tokens, or NFTs.
NFTs are exploding in popularity.
This is a technology that will forever change the way people interact.
So it is happening whether you understand it and like it or not.
This phenomenon is moving the digital.
You have now joined Jenny from the blockchain and Michael Keane on the NFT Catcher Podcast.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the NFT Catcher Podcast with me, Jenny from the blockchain, and my co-host, Michael Keane. For today's interview, we have Magic Eden joining us again. We have Zed Yin, who is one of the co-founders and COO of Magic Eden, the best place to discover, buy, and trade your favorite digital collectibles. Zed, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we are excited to have you because we actually had founders Jack and Sid on, it was episode 92, if anyone wants to go back and listen to that. And that was in September of 2022. So literally like a year and a half ago, we had you guys on. And shout out Kirby, who helped make this happen. She was saying she listened to that episode and she's like, wow, it is crazy how much has happened in the Magic Eden ecosystem since that interview. So yeah, we got a lot to dive into, I guess.
Yo, I'm like thinking about September of 22 and I'm thinking about, man, that was a much more peaceful time, you know.
Oh,
so
man.
Much has happened since then. Yeah, it's probably, yeah. Yeah, it's good time to talk about it again.
What did you in your head honestly think was going to happen? Did you really believe that you were going to make it this far and get to this point? Or were you a little nervous? Like, what was really going on back then?
No, I wasn't nervous. I think it's more like, you know, there's been a lot of surprises, right? One is that was pre all of the royalties stuff that have happened with NFTs, right? That's one thing that kind of happened that was pretty crazy. I did not think we would be talking about Bitcoin or ordinals, right? Nobody knew that was coming. And no, it's just amazing to see. Like, that was also pre-FTX. So I guess a lot of craziness in the market was still about to come. So to have gone through all of that and come out the other side, it's pretty nice to say we're on the other side now. But I think, you know, we always had pretty long-term conviction on this. This is only going to be like a thing that would take 10 years to build.
Yeah, wasn't that like towards the start of the bear market?
That was, yeah, the bear market kind of, I guess, what would we say? The peak would have been like March, April, May in 2022, and then down, and then FTX, then it really went. Because then didn't Solana go to like $20 or something? Didn't Solana go something so crazy in the middle of that? But yeah. So that was like, bear was kind of happening, and it wasn't like the full-on brunt of it yet.
But so now we're at the start of the bull, right?
Yeah, we're at the, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what we hope is,
right.
Is
jinx
happening
us.
Here.
Jinx us. Yeah.
Sorry, not to jinx anything. Yeah. But yeah, and so you guys were kind of just like known as the Solana marketplace back then. Like when everyone thought of Solana, they thought of Magic Eden. And then you guys started supporting other chains, and now, I mean, you guys are, out of all the top marketplaces, you guys support the most chains. Bitcoin Ordinals, Ethereum NFTs, Polygon NFTs, soon Bitcoin Runes. Why become a big cross-chain platform as opposed to kind of just staying with Solana and trying to build that up?
Yeah, so back then we were definitely just a Solana marketplace, and it's interesting because we get asked this question a lot about, how did you guys decide to do that? Like, why didn't you guys just pick Solana as the only place you would build? Which is actually, yeah, when you think about it, that is the more common path that, dApp developers, they typically take, you know, they build in one ecosystem and go very, very deep there. We have always had this multi-chain thesis because, we saw this from day one, where the only reason we even started on Solana in the first place was because Solana had like really different and interesting properties, right? you could do things just faster and more cheaply. And we always had the belief that if those properties were true and you had different stuff like that, that would enable different kinds of assets. People would trade differently. People would want to trade different things. And that's why we started the business on Solana in the first place, right? Rather than doing it on Ethereum, where most of the NFT activity was 2021. So in many ways, this was just a continuation of what we already believed at the beginning, but I guess we didn't really like do the best job articulating that at the time. And since then, we've added, Polygon, Ethereum, Bitcoin. And why do we do it? It's because, I think about Magic Eden as just, it's the place where you can exchange anything on chain. Just any on-chain value can move on Magic Eden. That's sort of how I think about, from a vision where we want to be perspective, right? We talk about just like digital ownership and that being universal. And I think that just means to me, if you put it really plainly, the value can just be exchanged. And as a result, we have seen really interesting markets pop up in many, many different ecosystems. So I think in some ways to realize that outcome or that vision, you sort of have to be very dynamic and very open to wherever that activity is going to come. And, I'll give you one example of like one thing we did there, which is when people started getting excited about the possibility of ordinals, but back when it was just like theoretical, it didn't take long for us to be kind of very excited and just immediately enamored by it. Because for us, we just saw that as, if you're going to create something that allows exchange of value on Bitcoin, like who's not going to want that if people already do that on ETH and Solana and many other places, right? So that was like almost a no-brainer for us, even though it seemed theoretically like kind of a strange move at the time. But that just fit very well with how we thought about the world. And I think that also holds true just going forward too. We're on 4chain. It doesn't stop here. I think there's many more that we are pretty excited about. And I think the NFT pie gets larger as you basically create more fundamental ecosystems that allow for value and assets to be created.
If you could name two or three more chains that, not necessarily that are coming, because I know you probably can't announce things that aren't announced, but like that you think would be a good fit that you see doing cool stuff right now that you would like to see on Magic Eden. What are a couple like?
Yeah, I think there's really interesting stuff happening on Base. Yeah, for obvious reasons. That it has been really cool to see just like a new, almost like new categories of dApps, SocialFi, as well as NFTs. So that, I think that is definitely one that's pretty interesting. I think Sui is pretty interesting. They've bet pretty deep on gaming. They even announced this like piece of hardware recently. It was like a handheld gaming device that integrates with their chain, which I thought was like, that's pretty cool. Not something you see every day. I think obviously you say it, Monad, some of these like parallel EVMs. I think there's already a lot of interest narrative about them. So we'll keep an eye on them. But
yeah, Monad got quite the raise last week, didn't they?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Pretty crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
The excitement about like other chains is definitely back. I mean, we have seen, being close to the Bitcoin ecosystem, so many L2s have been,
a lot of the legacy L1, I wouldn't say a lot, but some of the legacy L1s are building their own L2s. Tezos, Phantom are building their own ETH L2s. Yeah, there's a lot of that going on.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, for us, like, I don't know if we need to add every single like long tail chain because it's too many. It's kind of getting to a point. I don't know. People maybe already felt that way before, but it's definitely getting to a point now where it's like, whoa, it's a lot of chains. But I think it's important, like, because we think about it as where is the interesting content? Where is the interesting like stuff that's getting created? Wherever that is, we should go support that. Right. Which means probably that we'll support a lot of them, but probably won't be all of them.
Have you thought about supporting Flow?
Flow. We've talked to the team a bunch of times. Flow was, Top Shots generally is what got a lot of people into NFTs in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think what they've done is really cool. But I mean, for us, like, yeah, we're not really dogmatic about it. You know, I actually don't really have, like, it's funny because when I first got into crypto in 2017, it was a very dogmatic space. It was like, yo, you're like a Bitcoin maxi, or you're like a altcoin guy, or like you're an ETH maxi. It was very like so many labels on people. I think it's slowly dissipating. There's still a little bit of that. And, you know, I think there's definitely ETH maxi, Sol maxis, all that kind of stuff. Like, we are not really like that in the, from like a building perspective, because the way we look at the world is more like, yeah, where is the interesting stuff? Where is the content? And then we'll go wherever that is. If it's flow, we'll go to flow for sure. We're not looking at like, you know, this has X amount of decentralization and therefore we have to go and do that. Cause it's a philosophical thing. There are obviously teams that's really important to them and everything, but for us, it's more, how can we create the best experience for users who are really interested in this stuff? And that means just go where the content is.
Right. It's kind of like, it reminds me of, I know you used to work for Coinbase, right? I read that in your bio.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I guess this isn't the best example, but Coinbase, it used to really only support like really just a small handful, not even that many cryptocurrencies. And then it was like, you can go on Bybit or, you know, all these other ones, and it supports like everything. And then, you know, Coinbase is like, oh shit, we should probably support more stuff. And, you know, I feel like it's kind of like that right now. Like, you guys are like, well, yeah, of course we're going to support more. Like, wouldn't that be weird if we only supported one? Like, why wouldn't we support more? We would get more people coming to our platform. And also it shows, like, I had where is my quote here? Saigar recently had tweeted that he's like, I didn't realize how dominant Magic Eden's cross-chain strategy was until I saw this graphic. Number one in users, volume, and trading revenue over the last 30 days. In addition, of Bitcoin ordinal support is one of the best decisions made in crypto in recent history. By the way, I just need to mention, I am feeling great right now. I just took a shot of this Magic Mind productivity shot before we started recording. And these little 2-ounce wellness juice shots are the real deal. They taste so good and they have amazing ingredients like matcha green tea, lion's mane mushroom, turmeric. And I always feel so energized and focused after downing one of these. And since I've been taking them a few weeks ago, I've had so much more mental clarity as well. How have your Magic Mind juice shots been for you, Michael?
Well, you know, we've loved them, but I haven't felt as great because mine ran out a couple days ago because my wife has been sharing them. But we did order more and they're going to get here either Monday or Tuesday. So I will be feeling much better. But I mean, we got really lucky that we got such a cool sponsor, because it's a really great product, like, no doubt.
Yeah, seriously.
Really, really happy with it. So I can't wait to get the next batch and keep drinking them.
Yeah. And if you guys want to get yourself some Magic Mind productivity shots, we have the hookup for you. If you go to magicmind.com/NFTcatcherpod, you can get 20% off a one-time purchase or up to 56% off your first subscription with code NFTcatcher. Once again, magicmind.com/NFTcatcherpod and use code NFTcatcher. And shout out to our sponsor, Magic Mind.
Let's go.
So yeah, the numbers are proving that this is working. I mean, you guys are kind of dominating right now, which is so crazy because it was like, you know, in the beginning, it was really just OpenSea. So obviously they're number one. Then it felt like Blur was up next because they were kind of, you know, doing all these cool things. And
why are you skipping over Looks Rare?
No,
that popped off for like two weeks.
X2Y2 Looks Rare. Right, yeah, I guess Looks Rare for like, 2 weeks maybe. I mean, Coinbase had a platform and nobody used that, and then now it's like Magic Eden. So
yeah, it's a lot of hard work has gone into it. It's crazy. I actually think, going back to the just quickly the point about like adding all the assets and stuff. Yeah, that's exactly, it's actually a really good analogy. Because I remember, I mean, this is before I joined Coinbase, but it was basically Bitcoin. I mean, I heard stories from early in the days where it was even controversial for them to add Ethereum, right? Because the early days of the company was like, we are a Bitcoin, like Bitcoin wallet, Bitcoin brokerage. That was actually the early iteration of the company. So they had to add Ethereum and then, you know, Litecoin and all these other things. That was like a really big step. And then going from, I think it was like 5 assets, which was, that was it for the longest time, to go and add the long tail of like ERC-20s and then SPL tokens, like all this kind of stuff, was really a vision of probably the last like 3-4 years, you know? So most of their history has not been that. So I think that actually is a really good demonstration of how quickly crypto as an industry just proliferates. Like, it's actually insane. You guys talked to us to listen to you 18 months ago. And yeah, there's all this new stuff that's happened since then. And if you're not on the frontier looking out for that, using it, being excited about it yourself, like us as Magic Union, then, of course it's going to be hard for us to add that, all of that, and want it to be a part of our business. But the fact that we have, and we do like, and we are users ourselves, like, you know, we were probably, some of the people on our team were probably the earliest people in Ordinals because we were like interested in it just fundamentally ourselves. That allows us to then make some of these decisions, right? Because otherwise it's really hard to be like, oh, why would I care about this X new thing? Well, it's because we are there. We are also using it ourselves. We care about it. We like it. We're having fun. You know, that allows us to then make some of these calls. So I would say that there's definitely like some element of like, you have to be, you know, a little bit lucky. You have to work extremely hard, keep pushing and building a lot of these like rails to enable us to add new chains quickly. But you also have to have like some good intuition to make it happen, right? Because otherwise, you know, these decisions are not, you can't make them on like super pure analytical grounds, right? Because no one's going to know how big the Ordinals market's going to be. If you asked me that like a year ago, really impossible to say. But intuitively, like, do people want to collect things on Bitcoin when they already do it on these other chains? Like, yeah, probably. Bitcoin's the biggest chain. Everyone's heard about it. They have inscriptions, which is kind of cool. It means the NFT's actually on the chain. Oh, that combined that? Yeah, why not? Like, why people are not going to want that? So that's sort of how we made a lot of these decisions. It's a lot of it actually is pretty, it's just some intuition. Yeah.
I love that. It's like you have your finger on the pulse. And yeah, it does seem like, well, a lot of companies, they'll wait until it's like, we'll wait till it's popular, that there's actually an audience there. But you guys are like, no, we need to build it ahead of time and we need to be prepared. And that's great. That's really smart. And then you guys, so you have the Runes platform coming out, which I guess this pod will probably come out in a week or two. So it'll already be live.
Yeah, but I'm still digging into this though. This guy seems smart. I'm going to ask a lot of questions.
Okay,
about
Michael,
the
what do you got? What do you got about the Runes platform?
Well, let's see. Well, first of all, we didn't even mention the Magic Eden wallet that you guys have also added, which I really love. Yeah. I truly have been talking about on the pod general side, not just because I'm having you, because you guys are on. I've been using the platform. I've been using the wallet and they're great. Swapping from Sol to Bitcoin and all that kind of stuff right in the wallet. Like, it's really great.
It's cool. Yeah. It's cool to hear you say that. It's because that's exactly sort of that's what we wanted people to think, in the sense of we built it because when we wanted to build all this multi-chain stuff, I mean, even ourselves, we were like, oh man, it's really hard to go get like 4 wallets to then use Magic Eden, right? That was actually the problem we were trying to solve. And now that we have this wallet, and I think it fundamentally fulfills some of the user problems that people have or barriers that they have to explore activity on other chains. Yeah. Because it is really hard actually to get your like Bitcoin to then go do some stuff on Ordinals. Because most people have their Bitcoin on like hardware wallets,
right?
They don't want to touch that, or it's on maybe an exchange. They don't want to. It's like too annoying to go buy it and then move it over. Just do it directly in the Magic Eden wallet. You have some Sol, you have some ETH, which most people do. swap it over, you're good to go. So that was actually one of the big reasons that we decided to do it. And most of the activity, which we see today is like people going between the assets and then going on to Magic into their trade order, Sol, or whatever.
Yeah. When people were first figuring it out, I remember seeing the tweets like, this is so cool. I can like sell an ETH NFT and then buy a Bitcoin NFT like a minute later. Like really, really cool stuff. Let's get into runes though. So I go on to Magic Eden. You click from collections over to runes, buy broadcasted. So we don't know exactly what's going down, but I've actually been doing as much research as I can. This machine over here, believe it or not, is a brand new Bitcoin node that I'm running. And I've been testing, etching runes. I'm not sure if I'm quite going to be able to do it. It's very complicated, but it's really cool what I've gone on. I've learned a lot. But I also, you obviously were very early on Ordinals. You paid attention. I'm sure you're ready to go with runes. The way it's working that I understand, so Casey's taking rune zero, and it's called Uncommon Goods. And it's just going to basically be an open edition till the next halving. So like 4 years. And is a certain per wallet or like that? I mean, that's not super relevant. Do you know about that? Do you know what he's doing more specifically or not really?
I don't know super specifically. Yeah. I think originally the plan was to get the first 10.
Right. And then yesterday announced it was only going to be zero. Yep.
It'll just be zero. Yeah. Which actually, it's pretty cool because that means it's pretty open to the, community.
It's open to the VCs and the miners. I don't know about the community, but
whoever can corral the most amount of.
But you're right, though. It is cool. I just made a joke. So, and each rune from there on up, the person etching it decides how many there are. So rune number one might only have 5 of them, and rune number two might have 1 trillion of them. And and so on. And then they also decide how many they keep. And then they decide while they're etching it, and you can correct me when I'm wrong here. They decide while they're etching it, if it goes to mint and how much the mint is. That's in this YAML file. You've been doing that stuff at all? The YAML file?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
You're getting ready to etch. You're getting ready to etch. All right. Good. I know. All right. You're good. This is great. It's a shame this is going to come out after the halving. Okay. So I'm still on the right. So each person will decide. So some of those early ones, they will have a mint that goes live kind of immediately Saturday night. And so where will you be able to see the details? So as they start to get etched, What's the website that you see them on? Do you know? Is there one that like you'll be looking at?
I guess anyone that's going to be live and indexing.
Is that like that Unisat? Are they like a competitor?
They'll probably have it. I mean, I think there's a bunch of like discovery platforms that will have it.
Okay, fair enough.
Like Magic Eden will have it because obviously.
Will have them popping up live.
Yeah, basically the way we are going to do it is I guess, by the time this recording goes out, people will be able to see it. So
that's all right. At least we're getting the alpha.
You'll be able to see on Magic Eden, basically all of the different, like, tradable routes, right? And because what we have built is, in order to even enable trading, you have to index all the stuff that's happening on the chain, right?
Right.
So we'll be indexing. And then as soon as the things become available for trading, we'll have it available and people will be able to see like, what's the thing that is like doing the most volume or what's the thing that has the most number of transactions. You'll be able to see all that information.
You guys are going to have that go and it'll just say like rune number one and then it'll have how many it's divisible by. Like you'll have like stats about it, I guess.
We'll have some simple stats about it. The name of it. Yep. It's going to be like long. It's like, I can't remember how many. It's like a lot of characters.
13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to see all of that. We're pretty excited because I do think that this is not it's not like a typical fungible trading experience. It's almost like some hybrid between NFTs and fungible tokens.
I know, right? It's so, and you know, my thesis here and the reason I want to learn so much and I want to be prepared is because Casey knocked it out of the park with Ordinals. Like, he did it right and it hit, right? So, and then also meme coins have crushed every other chain that they've been on. Why wouldn't they? Like, now you got to pick the right ones. Do you know what your strategy is? Are you like other people you follow? Like, that you think are going to pick the right ones? I know.
You don't want to be. You
no financial
you don't be trading. You don't want to be copy trading me. I'm like a negative. I'm like a negative signal. I think from like me, I'll be just in the trenches, just like with the team, making sure we can get a good product out there. That's going
to
be my
focus.
Sure.
You're not going to be on Twitter spaces trying to catch the vibe. Yeah.
You guys will probably have more alpha than me, honestly.
Yeah. DM me. I'll let you know.
Love it.
Go ahead. Jen. No, this is really cool info. I appreciate like it's a lot because there's a lot, like even listening to the spaces, a lot of people don't really understand exactly. Like some people do. Everybody tried setting these up, and it's kind of easy to set up the node. It's easy to index the Ord wallet and get all that, and then starting to test. That's when it gets tough. Are you testing on? Oh god, are you testing on the Cygnet or are you testing on like the REG net? Like which one?
We're on Cygnet. We're on Cygnet.
That's what I'm trying to do also. Okay.
Yeah. I would say the one, I don't know, I'm like, maybe this is a prediction. You can call it a prediction, but I actually think that there will be just some flurry of activity immediately, but it will take some time to settle and for people to figure it out. Like
Ordinals did too.
Probably right. Ordinals, I would say, took, I don't know, it took months, for people to really figure it out and for there to be like the top collections to form.
I agree 100%.
It took like 9 months, right? Yeah. Maybe to get a handful of them. So I maybe it's not exactly the same for runes, but I do think that it's not all exactly going to happen just like so immediately. Right.
There's going to be a couple that like do go crazy, you know, and like, of course, but they might not last. Like there's going to be some wild stuff happening, but you're right to like, don't buy everything you see immediately and spend all your money and think, you know what I mean? You definitely be a little smart.
I'm not even going to be buying anything. I would just be on
the
sidelines.
Even though it's super
watching.
Easy on Magic Eden. Like, it is super easy on Magic Eden.
I think it's too, like, I don't like when, like, I don't know. I don't like when things are super, like, crazy and volatile in the beginning. Like, I'm definitely more of a wait it out, like, kind of see what happens type of person. I'm a little more cautious, I think. I'm not as risky. So I'll be watching, but. That's about it.
And let me ask you one more question about it, because I think you'll know the answer to this, and I want to make sure I do it relatively right. So say we want to do something fun for the podcast, maybe etch a rune. I'm not super worried about how, if it's like in the first 1,000, if it is amazing, but maybe like just like 1,000 things, but not to mint it, not to sell it, for us to hold, and then maybe to start giving them to our guests and people we meet, things like that. Does that mean you just pre-mine all 1,000 and they go right into your wallet? Is that how that would work? And then I just
that'll
have
be
them?
That's the easiest way to do it, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Which means it's a little more like you'll have to put up some cost up front.
Right.
For you guys to do that.
Right.
But that's probably the simplest way. And then you can then control the distribution of how you want to get that out to people. I don't know. We've heard of like a bunch of different distribution methods.
Yeah.
You know, there's that. There's like, you can get people to do a claim, right? You can get people to convert their ordinals into runes or convert their BRC20s into runes. Yeah.
Like, and you need to probably create the front end for that. If I'm doing something like that's pretty complicated. That's like for sure.
Exactly.
For sure.
So that'll be some stuff that we will build, right? We will build, it's kind of like the Magic Eden launch pad, similar to that, except. The launchpad is for minting. This will probably be like claims and like that kind of stuff. But it's the same, I don't know, same family of like products and use cases where it's like the before things can hit a secondary trading market, you can get this in the hands of users somehow. So that'll be something we'll build, you know, a little after the initial trading experience.
For sure. And do you think there, last, I don't want to keep pressing you, I mean, this is all really good stuff. Do you think that there is an advantage to trying to mint through like my setup here? Like, I don't even, like, whatever it would be, like the Ord wallet command, I'll figure out how to do that. Or do you think it'd be just as fast? Like, are you going to be minting through Magic Eden if you're trying to mint something? Or are you going to be minting it through your back end node computer, I guess?
Yeah, it depends on how sophisticated your setup is. Yeah.
Very fair.
I would say for most people, probably it's going to be simpler just to use one of the tools that's out there in the market.
Yep.
Actually, there's a bunch that I saw yesterday even. There's one from Lifer that I think is a pretty interesting one.
What's it called?
Lifer? The guy on Twitter is Lifer. L-I-F-O.
Oh, interesting.
Lifer Fifer. So he's built something that allows for batch minting on runes.
Nice. Awesome. Thanks. That's a good tip. Thank you.
Yeah.
Michael is satisfied now. He's like, great.
Move on. He's satiated now.
No, honestly, Z, I got this. This is good. This is incredible stuff, because like, I've been definitely talking to a lot of people and learning, just really trying to learn and be there, because I don't know if I'm going to be able to crush it or not, but I do feel like this is going to be huge for a lot of
people.
You're
acting like Z is Casey. You're like, so what are they?
No, he's really smart. He's a smart dude. He knows he was there first for Ordinals. He's got his own node. Like, he's already practicing etching. He's this guy knows. I know you don't think. Jenny was like, I don't know about Magic Eden. They don't seem to have the best devs. But I was like,
Wow, now you're trying to throw me under the bus. Unreal. That is crazy. Where's the loyalty, Michael?
This is okay. That was great stuff. I'll let you get back into the real questions though.
Back into the real questions. Well, you know what? I wanted to talk about in February this year, you guys collabed with Yuga Labs to create Magic Eden's new Ethereum marketplace to honor creator royalties. And I kind of wanted to talk about the roller coaster that is creator royalties. And first of all, in the beginning, creator royalties wasn't even a question. Everybody paid them. Nobody even thought that you couldn't. And marketplaces honored them because, I don't know, I guess they didn't think that you could just not honor them. And then, I don't know, was it Blur? Was Blur the first one to decide, we don't need creator, we can turn those off so traders can make more money? I don't know. Someone decided that. And royalties are not enforceable unless they've been written into the contract, which for most projects they weren't. So then it was like the marketplaces were like fighting for, you know, people's attention. They're like, let's just turn off creator royalties. You don't even need, they'll be optional. Pay them if you want. You don't have to. All of a sudden, projects bleeding out. Now they don't have much income coming in because no creator royalties. And projects were kind of fed up. I remember Betty was like, we're in talks with other projects. We're going to build our own, you know, marketplace that's going to honor creator royalties. And, you know, obviously the projects were mad. The traders were happy. And then you guys kind of swooped in and were like the heroes. And we're like, you know what? We're going to build out a Ethereum marketplace that honors royalties. And you partnered with Yuga on that. And also a bunch of other projects too, right? That kind of the gist.
Yeah. Now you captured a lot of drama in a very short amount of time. So well done. it has been a long and really long journey on this, because like, even before all the stuff happened on Ethereum, it happened actually on Solana first. And so we were obviously, we had to like handle and think about this problem on Solana, which ended up being a really good resolution, which gave us the conviction that this thing could be generally sold. So on Solana, everything went to optional royalties. And then we ended up working with a bunch of teams to build a new standard that enables royalties for creators. So most of the lion's share of NFTs on Solana now is all royalty enforced, right? Which probably most people would not have thought was possible. So that's why when we started to talk to a lot of the creators on Ethereum, they also all felt the same way, but no one was really willing to stick their neck out. to do something about it, right? Now, I'm talking about the marketplaces. You know, you have basically some who I thought were in a better position to do it versus others. I mean, I don't think Blair was ever really going to do it because the whole shtick was that, like, yo, this is the place to, like, trade, like this is a, like, a shitcoin. So we felt that, yeah, we, that could be something we can help with. And we have credibility around it because we've done it before on Sol. And then also, we have spent a lot of our time as a company thinking about how to serve creators really, really well, right? We've helped to launch probably, I don't know, somewhere between 500 and 1,000 projects on our launchpad now. So we intimately know what creators go through, at every stage of the journey. And then now, yeah, we've launched the Eve Marketplace. We've been working with Yuga on it, have been great partners. And about 30 other projects have been on board here as well. And if you just look at the last 30 days and even beyond that, you know, Magic Eden, it is not only the marketplace that has the most volume, you know, has the most users, but also has paid the most royalties. So it just shows that it's not zero sum as people think, right? You can build a healthy, sustainable business that also is beneficial for the entire ecosystem without necessarily, like, alienating one side of the market. And I think that's what was happening when you had traders being, you know, the front and center for everything. But actually this whole thing does not work if people are not willing to create NFTs. Like, you need balance in this whole thing. So that's why we felt that this was really important, something that not many people were willing to do. But yeah, when you're building this kind of business and something that we think is long term could be huge, you gotta be willing to do the hard things, right? So that's kind of how I see, I don't know, like, why we did it and then where we are today. We're only at sort of step one of this, but I think so far things are looking like, are looking very promising. Yeah, I definitely think it was the right call for us to help on this front.
Do you think other marketplaces are going to kind of follow suit? I mean, yeah, maybe not Blur, maybe not the ones that are, like, really catered towards traders and don't really care as much about, you know, the projects, I guess, or maybe, like, the ecosystem as a whole. But yeah, do you think other marketplaces will follow suit and be like, you know what, we should make royalties more enforceable again?
I think so. And the reason I say that is because now that we do have royalty enforcement at the contract level, what is it going to take to transition and have the majority of the market, back on royalties again? It's new creators and new collections that get launched on the new standard.
Well,
and, you know, that may not happen overnight, right? I would not expect that to be, like, tomorrow the whole market changes. It's a very gradual process because, so long as you believe that most NFTs that will get created in the future, which I think, obviously, I think that's going to be true. Cause we're just at, like, such an early point in NFTs as a whole thing. Then you have to believe that also that, there's a very, very strong chance that a lot of this stuff gets created into this new standard. And that's what we are trying to push, right? That's what we are, spending a lot of time thinking about. So over time, it's sort of, you need, now we're at step one where, like, a couple of big players have, like, come out and said, yo, this is the stance. Where step two here is creators then have to adopt it, right? Which I think will take some time. And then step three is then that brings everyone back to coalesce around, okay, cool, royalties are here to stay. So that's sort of how I see this playing out over the next, I don't know, 6-12 months, but we're pretty bullish on it.
That's great. That's exciting. Yeah, it almost feels like, I mean, it kind of feels like royalties are, like, coinciding with the bull market, because it was like, well, the bull market, people paid royalties, then the bear, people didn't because they didn't have much money, so they needed to make more. And it's hard to make money when there's a bunch of royalties. Now we're back to the bull, so royalties are back.
speaking of other marketplaces following your lead, you probably saw that on April 2nd, OpenSea's pinned tweet is actually, we're excited to announce that creators can use the ER-721C to enforce their royalties, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if they're just lip talking, but they are following suit because they saw you doing something well. So,
yeah. No, I think, I think that's
imitation's eyes, right. Form of flattery.
Yeah. 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 We're not, I mean, yeah, for us, it's like, doesn't even matter if people follow or not, but it's just that we had that conviction. You know what I mean? Like that this was the right thing. And you know, I think my co-founder Jack yesterday tweeted about this. He said, like, we're proud to be on the right side of history, because that's actually the way we look at it. You know, short term, yeah, it's really beneficial maybe to get a little boost in volume or something and, you know, have no royalties. But, you know, we're here to obviously grow this ecosystem, and to grow it and grow it sustainably, you need to have a suitable and strong business model for creators. And this is definitely part of that narrative, right? So if we can do that, then we will also benefit too, because this whole thing gets bigger. That's sort of why we wanted to do this. It's good that if others are going to follow it. I think that is only like an added bonus. But I think it sort of comes from us having the conviction to do something hard. And that doesn't guarantee success immediately, but yeah, it's kind of like, it's good to see the validation as well.
Yeah, that's what's up. And a second question in that same vein, has Yuga talked at all about, have you heard anything about them thinking about migrating BAYC, MAYC to a new contract that is completely enforceable, like the new standard?
I'll let Yuga talk about that when they're ready to talk about
it. I was trying to sneak that in there. I figured that was a tough one to talk about. But what that does mean is the answer is probably yes.
We'll let Yuga talk about it. Yeah.
He's like, okay. I got another confirmed Northernite. I mean,
that's what that means. Because if the answer is no, he could have just been like, nah, no one's ever said
don't
that.
Don't mind Michael. Okay. Just
can't take Michael anywhere. Honestly, this guy's just alpha farming.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Now you're doing the most. So I saw you guys have been partnering with a lot of companies recently. CryptoSlam, Phantom, Luminex. It's funny because we used to always use CryptoSlam for the 7-day volume chart. At the end, we'd be like, here are the top 10 projects by sales volume in the last week. And now we use Magic Eden because you guys like support everything and it's like so easy. And I don't know, your stats seem better for some reason. So yeah,
there are discrepancies in the stats that I haven't been able to figure out between your weekly stats and CryptoSlam's weekly stats, but I think yours seem more accurate. And theirs have some other stuff. Like theirs have like some real rant. Like theirs will have like the Mythos chain with whatever that game is. They'll have like some different stuff like that. But as far as the major projects go, yeah, it's a great cross chain chart to look at where you can sort it by US dollar value. You can sort it by volume. It's really nice.
Yeah. 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 It's kind of like that is basically the homepage of NFTs, I think, because if you want to look at just everything is relevant, you can kind of just go to the all chains homepage of Magic Eden. That was how we thought about that page. So I think as we add more chains, a bunch of all that data will also come through. So we're working on it, but yeah, it's good to hear you guys are using it. It's that was the whole intention.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I kind of have two more questions. I know we don't have too much time left, though. So,
yeah.
Okay, really quickly, what NFTs do you collect? Like, what are your favorite NFTs to collect?
Right now, I've been extremely deep in ordinals. That's where I've been spending most of my time. Nice. So yeah, I love Node Monkeys. I love the puppets. You guys saw my Dogepunk before. Just when I signed in, I feel like that one is like, I don't know, it's like a very OG early one. It hasn't got a lot of hype, but I just like it. It looks clean. The team's cool. I met them in person. But yeah, I really think a lot of the audible stuff is just pretty fun. You know, they're not like promising a bunch of stuff. It's just puppets are here for the vibes. Like,
yeah,
it's just funny. They say and do stupid things. Talking about world peace. I don't know. It's just fun. So yeah, I've been spending a lot of time on that. And then yeah, more recently, I still have a lot of Ethereum NFTs, obviously from back in the day. having Azuki. I like that team. A bunch of like the Yugaverse assets, you know. So
any doodles?
In general, I don't have any doodles.
What?
I've been thinking I'm thinking about it. So we'll see.
You need to get one before it's too late.
I'll
trade your mind for a puppet. One of your puppets. One of your many puppets, it sounds like you have. Oh, Jenny got her doodle by murdering Poopy Cat for
murdering. That sounds like murdering. I'm a murderer. Well,
she traded.
No, I made a trade. We traded one ETH in
two BYO pills
back in the day, and panned out for me. Except, I mean, I'm still holding mine. So, I mean, it's not like I sold it for 20 ETH or anything.
Right, of course.
But I actually have two. I bought another one. Anyway,
I think Z was about to make that trade with me until you laughed it off.
Oh, I don't know. I think Jenny saved me from that trade.
Yeah, I'm trying to help him out here.
Yeah, she's playing guard on me today.
Okay, Michael, you have any last minute questions before we go into Gas Wars?
No, I think we can go into Gas Wars. I've gotten enough. I got the vibe that you don't want me digging deep anymore, so we'll. We'll keep moving. Now, this was awesome, man. I had a really, really good conversation. I learned a lot and honestly impressed for a long time with what Magic Eden's been doing. You guys have done a great job and I can't wait to see what keeps going. I'm going to be trying to use it Friday night for the runes. And if it doesn't work, you will hear from me.
That's great. Okay. So Gas Wars is our rapid fire question segment where we each ask 5 rapid fire questions each that don't have to do with NFTs. We just want to get to know you a little bit better. So Michael, go ahead. You can go first.
All right. Let's go. What is your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Chocolate.
What was your first job?
I worked in a call center. I was the really annoying guy that would, please don't. Yeah, please no retribution from the listeners. But I used to call people and ask them to answer a survey. And everyone obviously hated me for it because I used to cold call. Yeah, but that was my first job. Paid well. Yeah, I was like 15.
Let's go.
Nice. When you vacation, do you prefer a beach vacation or a mountain vacation?
Mountain, for sure. Yeah.
I do too.
I can't sit on the beach for too long. Same. Yeah.
Yep.
Who has influenced your work ethic the most?
Probably my family. Yeah. My family is full of like hard charging, hardworking people. So, and I'm the youngest in my family, the youngest of other two siblings who are above me. And I think subliminal messaging, you know, like they're just them doing a lot of this. But I was like, oh shit, I've got to do the same thing. So I think that had a really big part of it.
Do they think you're insane working in like NFTs and like pixelated? Like,
yeah, are they in like Web3 at all?
No, they're very, they're very trad. So my brother is a lawyer. And my sister's a paramedic. So they're in totally different fields. So they're like, what is all this stuff? Like, it seems crazy. They're going Magic Eden and it's like, if you're a normie, you know, it's like,
it's crazy looking. Yeah, it's like, tiny Vikings happening? And stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Like all these pictures, numbers, and what is this? Yeah.
Love it. Was that you? Okay, my turn.
Yeah.
Favorite museum?
Favorite museum?
Yeah. Museum. I say that because people live my, I don't say it right for some reason. Favorite museum?
Man, probably the British Museum.
That's a good one. It's free.
Free. Yeah, it has a lot of.
We really love a free museum.
Yeah.
Okay. Which of your teachers is most memorable and why?
Oh, probably one of the classes that I took in high school was ancient history. And yeah, one of my teachers, Dr. Barry was his name. I definitely wouldn't be listening to this.
Shout out to Dr. Barry. Hey, maybe he is. You never know.
Yeah, I never know. But he was awesome because he would. I don't even know that that class was just. I just felt like we were just listening to stories all the time, and it was just cool just to not only hear the stories, but then you kind of like putting yourself in their shoes and learning those lessons. I always thought that was, yeah, it was one of my favorite subjects, but also he made it what it was, you know, because he would teach it in a way that was so compelling.
Love that. Storytellers are underrated. All right, Michael, what'd you got?
All right. What is the craziest thing you ever ate?
I ate some possum. Do you guys know what possums are?
Ew, yeah. Why did you eat a possum?
No, I mean, it sounds bad. Like, I didn't like literally eat one. Just
no,
like
you
that.
Cook it right. I'm sure it's nice. You cook it.
Yeah,
right?
But where did you get that?
Like, he was in Alabama, obviously.
No. I was okay. So, this is maybe not that interesting, but I was in, I grew up in Australia. There's these restaurants that you can go to where they just cook like weird meats. By the way, that same meal, I had like crocodile and like emu, which probably is also not that common, and possum. They served possum, but they cooked it. It was like a nice restaurant. They cooked it really nice.
Yeah, I'm sure it's delicious.
It tasted good. Yeah, I would eat it again. I would never go out and fucking find it, but it was pretty good.
That is funny. Possum. Okay. That's the weirdest one I've heard. I've never heard anybody eat possum ever.
I had something similar in Peru, guinea pig. They called it koi.
Oh, yeah.
And they grill, they like barbecue it up nice and crisp.
Okay. What is, in the same vein of food, what is your favorite dessert?
There's two that I can't choose between, but these are definitely my top two. One is tiramisu. And one is a sticky date pudding.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sticky date pudding. I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Is that a British
thing? Basically like a small, like, cakey kind of thing, but then you put, like, butterscotch sauce all over it, and it just tastes awesome.
I'm a sucker for butterscotch sauce. Nice. I love it. Do you call it the halving or the havening?
Definitely halving. Yeah,
That is technically correct. I asked ChatGPT and it said both are used, but technically it's the halving.
Yeah, I'm definitely, I like judge people who say
halving. Okay.
Yeah. Havening. Just seems like, come on. Like, what are you doing?
You're doing too much. Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah.
Love it.
Okay, my last question is, what is a book that changed your life?
That's a hard one. I'll tell you a book that changed my life is maybe too strong, but it's like I've gone back to reread it many times.
Okay.
And it's this book called The Consolations of Philosophy. It sounds like very like boring and stuff, but it's basically like in my view, the best introduction to like a lot of just philosophy concepts, which are like super applicable to just life. I read that when I was in high school, and then I've just reread it a bunch of times since then. And it's every time I read it, I'm like, oh man, it's got so much gold in there.
Interesting.
I recommend that book. It's a really good book.
Okay. Thank you for the recommendation. I love reading. So check that one out. All right, Michael, your last call. Wait, you were starting. Kidding. We're done. Okay. That was it. Great. Well, you made it through. Congrats.
Nice.
Survived. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. And I guess in another year and a half, we're going to have you guys back on.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Next time they'll have like 40 chains going.
I know. Like, you might even be so hard to reach. We're going to have to be like, they won't even run. Don't you remember us? Like, come on.
Now, next time you can also get our fourth co-founder, Rex.
We need the final one.
Yeah, we can see that out.
Okay, nice. Sweet.
Amazing.
All right. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on, Z. Appreciate you. And
thanks, guys.
Yeah, of course. Thank you all for tuning in to this episode of the NFT Catcher podcast. We will catch you in the next one. Peace.
Thank you for tuning in to the NFT Catcher podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode and learned something new about the exciting world of NFTs. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you really love what you're hearing, please leave us a rating and review on your favorite platform. If you want to stay up to date with the latest news and insights from the NFT space, be sure to follow us on all the socials at NFT Catcher Pod. You can follow Jennifer at Jennifer_Sudo and Michael at NFTicket. I'm your producer, Andy, and I'm at AJC254. Our theme song's by It's Just Loose. We always appreciate your feedback and support, which helps us reach more people and bring you informative and engaging content about NFTs. We look forward to bringing you more great NFT content in future episodes. Thanks for listening. Peace. Show.